This is Digital Story Podcast number 772, January 5th, 2021. Today's theme is 5 ways to create beautiful black and white photos. I'm Derek Story. Black and white photography is not merely the absence of color. In the right hands, monochrome pictures artistically blend shapes and tones to help us see life more clearly. We believe black and white photos are truthful, even though the world is in color. The feeling is that we've stripped away all distractions and are left with the essence of the subject. And on today's show, I'm going to discuss 5 ways you can create beautiful black and white images. When you really begin to explore black and white photography, you will probably notice that it reveals many aspects of the world much cleaner and clearer than in color images. Now, to help you with this exploration, you actually have to look at black and white photos. So I have 2 basic suggestions for you. The first suggestion is to look at some of the work that has been done in the past. You know, we all have our favorite photographers, but maybe we haven't looked at their work for a while. And ideally, if you can, look at their work in printed format. In other words, you know, via a book, in a museum, something that's hanging on a wall, that sort of thing. For example, one of my favorite photographers is W. Eugene Smith. He combined a sense of storytelling, photojournalism, and very strong black and white darkroom technique. And he had a good eye to boot, right? Very complete sort of photographer. And so when I look at his work, then I get inspired and I get ideas for my own black and white photography. In other words, it's one thing to say, hey, I'm going to convert this picture into black and white and see how it looks. It's another thing to look at someone's work and really get into it and go, I really like what he or she did with those midtones, or I love the layers of dark and light, dark and light, dark and light, or I like this, or I like that. And then go and use these tools and techniques that I'm going to talk about here in a second and create something with some intent. Not just convert an image to black and white, but make a black and white image with some idea of how you want it to look when you're done. Now, that doesn't mean what you have in mind is where you're going to end up. Trips are often like this, right? We know where we're going to go, or we think we know where we're going to go. And then, you know, things happen along the way, and that happens during the creative process as well. And you want to allow for those detours and those things that you discover along the way. But I still think you have to have some sort of sense of direction, you know, at least to begin the journey, to know which road to take, to know north, south, east, or west, some idea. In other words, it's just saying, hey, I'm going on a trip. Well, when you say, hey, I'm going on a trip with no particular destination in mind, to me, it's very similar to saying, hey, I'm going to convert an image to black and white, right? They seem very analogous to me. So that's the first thing. Kind of have an idea of what direction you want to go. And again, looking at the work of others is a great way to get some ideas as to what appeals to your eye and maybe what you want to do with some of your images. Now that we've done that, now that you've got a vision of sorts, even though that vision may change, here are some techniques that you can use to work on those images. The first one is the desaturation method. And I think it's very interesting. When you read about the desaturation method, some photographers say, oh, don't do this. Or, I mean, that's a terrible way to convert to black and white because the images look dull. And I'm thinking, well, you really don't know this method, do you? You really, really should learn a little bit more about it before you offer that sort of critique. Now, I'm not saying that is the best method, but it's an interesting method. And here's what's interesting about it, is that you start out with an RGB file, a color file, and then in your favorite photo application, you go to the saturation slider, and basically you move it all the way to the left or whatever direction in your application desaturates it completely, so that it goes from a color shot to essentially a monochrome shot by moving that slider all the way over to the left most of the time. Now, the reason why I think this method is interesting isn't what you see initially, right? And maybe that's what happens with some people that say that this isn't a great method because they just stopped right there. No, you don't stop there. That's only the first step. The second step then is to go to white balance and play with the temperature and the tint sliders in the white balance. And you're going, well, why would white balance have any effect on the quality of the black and white? Because this is still an RGB file. All you've done is desaturate the colors so that when you play with the temperature and tint sliders, they change those tones, those desaturated tones, and make them brighter or duller or whatever they happen to do. And the color of the shot determines how, you know, the image reacts to those sliders. Now, you can use other sliders as well. You can use the HSL sliders once you've desaturated an image. You can play with all sorts of things. The thing is to keep in mind that this is an RGB image, so those types of sliders will have an effect on the quality of the black and white. Now, I played with this again before I wrote this up, and I was correct. When I first desaturated a color image, yeah, it was kind of dull and boring. And then after I played with the sliders, the white balance sliders and so forth, it really came to life. And then you can play with highlights and shadows and contrast and all of those other things. Sharpening, dehaze, you know, all those cool things to really take it to another level. So this is a fun technique that you might not use it all the time, but it's a good one to have in your bag of tricks. And the other thing that I like about it is that you can use it with practically any imaging application that you have right now. The second technique is set your camera to monochrome mode. Now, this has the added advantage of letting you compose in black and white. And when you start composing in black and white, you see the world much differently than you do in color. And it allows you to create compositions that I think resonate in black and white much better, right? Because you're actually seeing the tones through the camera. Almost all cameras these days have a monochrome mode, and some have some really cool ones. And the two cameras that I shoot with that you're already way too familiar with, of course, are the Olympus Pen F and the Fujifilm X100V. And both of those have fantastic monochrome modes with film simulations and lots of options. So not only can I preview the world in monochrome, but I actually have a choice of, you know, what kind of monochrome do I want? Do I have something really contrasty and toothy like Tri-X? Do I want something a little bit softer? I have those options. And then I get excited in the capture process. To really make this work and to have all of your options open, you shoot RAW plus JPEG. When you capture in monochrome mode, the JPEG will be the black and white image, and then you still have a RAW file with all of your options open. So let's say that you come very close to what you want with the JPEG, and you just want to beef it up a bit, or you know, you want a little bit more file to work with. You want a little more highlight recovery available to you, whatever it happens to be. Well, then you can take that RAW file, go into your favorite image processor, and then process it using that JPEG that you captured as the template for the image that you shot. And you can always do some variation and so forth. But there are some big advantages to capture in monochrome mode and then continue to refine it later on your computer. The third technique, use your application's built-in black and white converter. Lightroom, Photos, Capture One Pro, Luminar, ACR, and Photoshop all have black and white conversion tools. Most of them are quite good, and some of them even have some capabilities that really, you know, add a little extra spice to the conversion, such as being able to add grain or control grain in the shot, things like that. Now, these black and white converters are fun to play with and fun to experiment with. They're not always the end all, right? A lot of times I'll just use the black and white converter in, let's say, Capture One Pro to look at the image in black and white and think, you know, does it have potential? Should I keep working on this one? Would another shot be a better way to go? You know, all that kind of stuff. So a lot of times I'll use the black and white converter as sort of a preview to determine if I should keep going down this road or not. Now, if I decide to keep going down that road, if I decide, hey, this is interesting in black and white, then chances are good I'm probably going to switch to another tool to finish off that shot. But they're a very easy way, because a lot of times you just have to check a box, you know, switch to black and white or whatever it happens to be, to at least give you a preview. Now, I've talked about this before, and I'm going to reiterate it right now. Those of you on Macs, Photos for Mac OS has a great black and white converter, and it is one that you can finish the shot with if you wish. It has a lot of controls in terms of tonality and all of that. It allows you to add grain. It is a really good black and white converter, and is one of the few built-in black and white converters that I will finish shots with, just because it's pretty hot. All right, sometimes you'll be rolling along and you'll just be surprised by how well a tool works in this app or that app. Black and white in Photos for Mac OS is one of those tools. The fourth way to go is a dedicated black and white app, and of course, I think the poster child for this is SilverFX Pro 2. Now, SilverFX is owned currently by DxO. It's been around forever and owned by different companies. It was originally created by Nick Software. It went to Google. Now DxO owns it. It is fantastic. And the thing that DxO did with the current version, version 2, is that they worked on some of the underlying code so that it works great with, you know, modern computers, modern OSs, all that stuff. It is cross-platform. It is a terrific app. And the thing that I so enjoy about SilverFX are the presets and the templates, where I can really explore an image just by clicking on these different thumbnails. A lot of times they're labeled, so you get to know them. Right? So it can be, you know, this or that. And you're going down and you go, wow, I never would have thought that that image, that original image that I captured, could look like that. And then you go, oh, or it could look like this, which is completely different, but still in black and white. And it is a lot of fun for exploring images to really find out what's in there and what their capability is as a black and white shot. Now, once you've kind of figured out the direction that you want to go with the image, then it has a lot of tools that are available to you to help you refine the shot. Ounce for ounce, as far as dedicated black and white apps go, I don't think there's anything better than SilverFX Pro. I have to have it because I love black and white. I don't always use it, but sometimes there are certain shots I go, this just has to go into SilverFX, or I'm not going to be able to get it the way that I want. It's that app is that go-to app, especially for certain images. And boy, can you produce some cool stuff with it. And my fifth technique is to shoot black and white film. Boy, this can be a real eye-opener if you've never dabbled in analog photography before, because black and white films such as Kodak Tri-X, Ilford HP5 400 Plus, or Fujifilm's Neopen 100 Acros 2, they are amazing emulsions that provide rich tonality. Now, I would say that the most versatile tool that I have digitally is SilverFX Pro 2 in my arsenal. It's the thing that I can really stretch into the world of, you know, what films can produce. And then I'll shoot a roll of Tri-X or HP5 or, you know, Neopen, and I'll be looking at the negatives and I'll be looking at the scans and I go, wow, you know, all I had to do was click the shutter on this and I got this. And it looks so good, and I'm not even sure I can replicate that. There's something different. I don't know if it's the difference between random silver crystals and, you know, organized pixels. I'm not sure what the difference is, but there is a difference. And if you really get hooked on shooting in black and white and the black and white look and all that kind of stuff, then I think at some point you need to look at black and white film. Now, here's the cool thing about working with black and white film versus color film. You can process black and white film on your own at home. You don't have to send it out. And there's a device called LabBox, and it's LAB-BOX, and it is a daylight film processing unit. This is what I use here at the studio to process my black and white film. Essentially, you take the film, you load it into the LabBox at the table, right? Just sitting in your kitchen or in your dining room, wherever you happen to be working. You load it in there, you wind it on to a spool there in the LabBox. It even has a little blade lever that you push it up and it cuts the film off and, from the cassette. And so it's all neat and tidy on the spool. And then it has a light tight opening for pouring liquids in. And then you do your processing. Most people would do it right there in the kitchen. So you process the film right there. You can agitate. It's got a knob for agitating, the whole deal. And then when you're done, you rinse the film off for a few minutes. And then I always hang it up in the bathroom. Of course, we always hang it up in the bathroom, right? I have a couple extra hooks on my shower curtain rod. And those are for hanging up film. Let it dry. You do the old trick where you take two fingers and you pull it down on the film to get the excess water off. Especially if you have hard water, you don't want the droplets drying on there where it would leave some sediment. Then voila, you have a roll of film. And the cool thing about it is, compared to waiting for film to come back from the lab, is you don't have to wait for a film to come back to the lab, which these days is usually about a week. It can be longer. In this case, you take the pictures, and then a half an hour later, you can be looking at the negatives. I mean, it's really cool. So black and white film photography is definitely something to keep in mind if you really start to fall in love with this look. Boy, I tell you, once you've had some success with black and white photography, once you got some good pats on the back, or people go, my gosh, that portrait looks wonderful, or I've never noticed how cool that building is until I saw it presented this way and all that kind of stuff. Once you've had that experience, then it makes you want more, right? It makes you want more. So regardless of the method that you use, working in black and white will likely invigorate your overall photography. It'll help you see the world in a new way, and it definitely keeps the creative juices flowing. Maybe you'll try one of these methods with your own pictures. The waiting list for the second session of Integrating iPhone into Pro Photography Workflow Online Workshop. So the first session of this, Integrating iPhone into a Pro Photography Workflow, has sold out. And I'm very excited about that because I think this is going to be so fun. The idea, of course, is how to use your favorite digital camera with your favorite iPhone, iPhone 10, iPhone 11, iPhone 12, and then create a super nimble kit, but yet covers all the bases that you need and has very high quality. How do you get the maximum quality out of your digital camera? And how do you get the maximum quality out of your iPhone shot? So that's what this is about, being very light, but very powerful. Okay, so that first session sold out. It begins in early February and is going to run through the month. But I was thinking there are probably a lot of folks that didn't even hear about it until after it sold out. So I want to provide the opportunity to have a second session. So what I've done on the Nimble Photographer website, on the workshops page, I've created the ability to add your name to a wait list if you're interested in joining the second session, which would probably begin around mid-February, okay? So it doesn't cost anything to get on the wait list. All you got to do, you'll see the sold-out workshop, and then right next to it, you'll see the wait list. They'll have the same icon, and you can sign up on the wait list, and then that allows me to gauge interest for a second session. If we get enough people, if we get at least 8 people here relatively soon that are interested and will sign up for the workshop, then I will offer the second session. Those 8 people will have the first opportunity to sign up for it, and off to the races we go. Just to reiterate some of the things I'll cover in this workshop: working with just one digital camera and an iPhone, taking advantage of versatile fast prime lenses on your digital camera and using the iPhone for additional focal lengths, perfecting a raw workflow with the iPhone, and that's iPhone 10, 11, or 12, leveraging Apple ProRAW for those who have an iPhone 12 Pro, building a kit that allows you to travel lighter without compromising capability, post-processing tips and techniques using photos on a Mac, iPad, and iPhone, and investigating other software workflows to augment your imaging prowess. All right, this is going to be good stuff. So if you missed the first session and you're interested in joining us, go ahead, put your name on the wait list, and we'll see what happens. Gone, but not forgotten. Adobe Flash is no more. Okay. I'm going to read you a few paragraphs from this article on DP Review, and I have the link to it in the show notes if you want to read the whole thing. And before I read this, I'm just going to tell you, I am so glad that Flash is gone. I never loved it, and I love HTML5 much more. So anyway, okay, here we go. Here's what DP Review has to say about this. Adobe Flash, a staple of the internet for much of its nearly 25-year life, is officially dead. Adobe promised that its support for Flash Player would end on December 31st, 2020. True to its word, Flash has ridden off into the proverbial sunset. Beginning January 12th, 2021, Adobe will block Flash content from running Flash Player. Furthermore, Adobe strongly recommends all users immediately uninstall Flash Player to help protect their systems. This is one of the reasons why I wasn't crazy about Flash. Adobe will no longer be issuing security updates for Flash Player, making it important to remove it from your system. For information on how to uninstall Flash Player, refer to this Adobe support page, and they have a link there. The move to sunset Adobe Flash Player has been coming for a long time, as Adobe first announced its intention to discontinue Flash back in 2017 after asking developers to move to HTML5 in 2015. By 2018, a very small proportion of websites still use Flash, with many opting instead to use JavaScript, WebGL, or HTML5. And that was my problem with Flash Player. I just thought it was a pain in the butt, in all honesty. It was constantly being compromised security-wise. It seemed like every time you turned around, you had to update Flash Player. Talk about high-maintenance software. This thing was it. I am glad that Adobe, you know, decided to do the right thing and sunset this technology. It had a good run, but it's over, and now it is officially over. And what a great way to start out 2021 by having Flash Player be no more. All right, let's do a little virtual camera club business here. I'm going to start out thanking our Inner Circle members for their support. We had a great 2020. And I'm looking forward to even a more powerful 2021. And the reason why I feel that way, and the Inner Circle members are so tied to this, is that what we were faced with in the early part of 2020, for me as a business person, was unprecedented. Now, I have had ups and downs, and I've had to reinvent myself many times over the years. That's just part of being in this game that I'm in. However, I had never seen such dramatic boom, like the wall just came down on the business and said, no, you're not doing this anymore, and you better figure out what else you're going to do. I've never had it be quite so dramatic. It's been more in the past, like losing a client here, losing a client there, or suddenly this idea is no longer working out very well. And, you know, I had time to kind of shift. In 2020, we had to turn on a dime. Thanks to the support of our Inner Circle members, all of you are benefiting from that because their support was unwavering when everything else was up in the air, I was able to just take a deep breath and say, okay, what are we going to do now? What is best for this community? How can we move forward and still share photography, still talk about photography, still get excited about photography? And all those things that came out of that conversation are the things that we're seeing in 2021 right now. Our online workshops, our individualized trainings that we share. This stuff came out of the need to make that change. And I was able to make the change because I had the help of our Inner Circle members, our sponsors that stuck with us, and just the support of some of my clients through the worst times possible. If you're interested in becoming an Inner Circle member, I highly encourage it, because what that does is that allows us to keep innovating, keep moving forward, keep creating new stuff that everyone benefits from. And you can be a part of that. And all you have to do is just click on the Patreon tile that's on every page of the Digital Story. You have two ways that you can support. You can support for a whole year at once if you don't like, you know, being billed $5 a month every month during the year. You can be billed one payment and you save $6 when you get the one-time billing. You save 10%. So if you do it $5 a month for the whole year, it's $60. It's only $54 if you do one-time charge, and then you're done with it. And then you have pledged your support for the whole year. You enjoy all the benefits, and believe me, there are plenty of benefits to being an Inner Circle member that go way beyond $54, and you have the good feeling of knowing that you're helping keep this photography community alive. So a huge thanks to our Inner Circle members that have stayed with us through 2020, and many came on board in 2020 to make sure that we could push this thing forward. And I'm looking forward to new members joining us in 2021 to keep this going. And finally, a big thanks to our friends at Red River Paper. Talk about people who stick with you in hard times. These folks are those folks. They really are. And the nice thing about it is that many of our photographers in our community stick with them as well. I get letters all the time of people saying, I have been using Red River printing paper for years, and I absolutely love it. I have like 8 boxes over there in the corner, all with different, you know, emulsions, all with different thicknesses, and I use them for all these different things, and I wouldn't use anything else. So I really feel like that we've created a two-way street here with these folks at Red River Paper. It's the only paper that I use. I love working with them. I love their product, and I like their dedication to the inkjet printing community. And, you know, we're talking about black and white today. Print some black and white on some Red River paper. Oh my gosh. You know, when I was talking about looking at those great prints from photographers that we admire from previous generations, when you have something come out of the inkjet printer on Red River paper that looks like something that they did, except you did it, I'm going to tell you, you are going to feel great. You're going to be inspired, and you're going to want to make more, right? That's the kind of thing that happens, and we have Red River Paper to thank for that end of it, for the printing end of it. They have a terrific Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper, and they have a tile on all the pages of the Digital Story. Click on it, go over to our landing page there, look around, get some paper, and make some cool black and white prints. All right, that's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. I'm working on some great stuff for next week. Hope your new year is off to a great start. Stay safe, stay creative. Come back and join me next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.